Okay. So, Louis, maybe you can give us an update on any new things that you may be doing.
I have first the bar graph with the call bandwidth numbers, which at this point I don't know if I need to make any changes.
I would suggest that we leave that for now.
Yeah, the only thing that is missing there, and I don't know if I should, if we should just put it there or not, is the average, which we don't have. I don't know if that is important. No, need to update. So, okay.
Yeah, the average number we could possibly show in some other way, but I guess we talked about showing it using.
Yeah.
Using just some dashes or something like that.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Maybe instead of a dash, we could have a dot or a cross or something like. Maybe less confusing. I don't know if it's possible or not.
Yeah. Yes. I think it is.
Yeah, maybe an X to denote the average. Yeah, so I guess there are some applications here which are interesting, right?
Those are the what?
Some of these applications are.
Are you index? Are you search?
Search.
PMD and PMLL.
What is PMD?
I don't know.
Not postmark, it's something else.
No. Ricardo.
Hey, Ricardo. What's happening here is that the 95th percentile is very close to the max.
I'm pretty sure it's the same, right? Or, yeah.
For some of them, it's 95th is the same as max, which is...
Yeah.
So which means after 95th, it's... And then there was some here...
Very close to 100 megabytes per second.
It is quite high. Well, the highest values here are for... all the way over here. Right. Highest values are for Rubis All and HSQLDB. We know those numbers, which were around the max values were
pretty high.
400. But the 99 percentiles are, except for the 4 and in between,
mm-hmm.
They seem reasonable. So for all of these guys, at least the 95th and the 99th percentile seem to be the same value.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of them, 95th, 99th, and max are the same value. What is this, by the way? Why are there two 95th?
Oh, that's a mistake. This should be 90th.
Oh, this should be 90th. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So these are 90th percentile values.
Yes.
Hmm.
So that means that it has a
pretty long tail.
For distribution.
Hmm. Interesting.
So Rubis DB at 50. Pretty much it's when the 99 percentile is zero.
Right? Where is that?
Rubis DB at 50.
Yeah. Yes, that's what it means. So exactly. So the only that has that is greater than zero is max.
Yeah, you might have to be sort of creative in showing the average, because you cannot use black for all. It might disappear for these guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we can figure out how to add the averages later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing is that the font is a little small, but I can increase it.
You could also add average values on top of each bar. That might be another possibility.
Yeah.
And that might be too crowded, though.
Yes. I don't know if that would be a good idea. Because then people can be confused and think that that number is this value.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking is that instead of having a graph, having a table with all the values. But I don't know if that would take more space and it would be less explanatory.
I think this is good enough. I mean, it will take pretty much the same or more space, actually,
mm-hmm.
right, to get all of these numbers in there.
Yeah. Oh, I have to change it.
Yeah. So the caption will need to be changed.
Yeah.
The observation, I mean, what is the observation we are making here? I guess we are saying that the 99 percentile of cold bandwidth requirements can be satisfied fairly easily using Flash,
mm-hmm.
right? And sometimes the maximum bandwidth exceed the capacity of the Flash.
Right.
I guess that would be the takeaway message. And these are 10 milliseconds.
These are 10 milliseconds.
Okay, so I think we can, for the time being, leave this as it is and do revisions to the text to use this figure. Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to maybe some other discussion.
Yeah. So the other thing is that I have been working on the implementation. On the implementation for the, you know, the couple of things I sent in the email, and after that, I didn't do anything else for now. So I have to work on finding the...
We lost Akshat once again.
Find the timestamp of the virtual.
One second, let me get Akshat back online. The same thing happened last time, and after a while he just disappeared. So, yeah, maybe it's the same problem. Not good. Okay, so now he disappeared. I think he's restarting his machine.
New Kelly.
So Lewis, were you able to compute the I and S values?
No, actually, I haven't thought about it. But, I think it can be done.
I think so too.
Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, you have to be careful in the accounting.
Right. So I guess there are two cases, right? The case where the timestamp is less than the previous timestamp plus the item, which in that case the logical or the virtual timestamp is the same, right?
Yes.
But if the IO overlaps with the next IO, then I have to add that time. I mean, I have to shift those overlapping requests, right?
Yes.
In time.
That's right. Yeah.
But I haven't, you know, been through the computation, the exact computation.
Yeah, you have to be careful in how you compute that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can be done. It seems we have all the information necessary to.
Seems like we have all the information.
Ricardo, are you there?
Yep.
So I guess you need to add the other workloads in Figure 1, right?
Yeah.
It has some of the CDF plot of page reuse distances.
Yeah, I need to put the machine. Actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to remind you that that's one thing that you need to do for this paper. And there was also a second graph that needs to be plotted.
Yes. I know the CDF of
the
rank, right?
Yes. Rank and frequency. Similar to Figure 2, but aggregated.
Mm-hmm. Then we can shrink this.
Well, actually, Figure 2 is not CDF. Figure 2 is just the distribution. So, I guess we talked about getting the CDF instead, right?
Yes.
Did we talk about the CDF or the just the regular distribution for this new figure?
No, we said CDF.
Okay, so those are the two things. Yeah, once we get all of these graphs in, then we can finalize the motivation section and forget about it, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, for...
And start with experiments.
Yeah. And the experiments, I'm assuming, will take a long time.
Yeah. I guess this is about for us. Do we propose anything to reduce the OS latency for page faults?
Yeah, so I think we lost Akshat. Let me see if I can get him over email. What is that, Ricardo?
He's offline on Gmail.
On Gmail too, so very likely he lost internet connection. So about the experiment section, where are we starting from? So right now you're working on some power numbers, or?
I have to work on that.
And we already have this table of execution times, right?
We have the table of execution times for the three modes.
For the three replay modes.
Yeah.
And that would not change, I guess.
That, I think, it won't change. It shouldn't change much. Yeah, it shouldn't. But, you know, now I'm doing this TCP window, like, flushing threads, so I don't know if that will affect the IO performance somehow. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or the page fault timing, because probably have less foreground write, so probably the latency will look better. I don't know.
So you think that the TCP window improvement will actually make things better for us? I mean,
it could be, right? Because now it will adapt to how fast things change in the memory, right? Or how fast pages are jittered. So,
but is it? I mean, the way I understood was, so this is a timer interrupt that fires.
No, this is an asleep.
It is asleep, and when you wake up, you check again to see.
So I wake up and I check if the top pages, which is some value, I think it's 10% of the pages, top pages in the ARU, are dirty or not, or which of them are dirty.
And
then I flush the ones that are dirty.
And if the number of dirty pages does not exceed a certain value, you go back to sleep again and do not flush anything, right? Or you always flush?
I think I always flush. I don't remember.
And the sleep is what? It's a nano sleep or?
Nano sleep.
I see. Okay, so if you're flushing each time, then you might be doing more flushing than it's necessary. Right?
What is that?
I mean, that is assuming that you don't pick. So our idea was that, I mean, at least initially the way we were thinking about this was, oh, there he is, okay. Kshat seems to be back online. Hi, Akshat.
Yes, my wireless activity is get back on time.
No problem. We were just talking about the experiments that Lewis needs to perform next. We already had some discussion about getting the CDF in a slightly different way for aggressive mode replay sometime last week. And Ricardo had this observation that for aggressive mode replay, we were calculating the latencies perhaps incorrectly. So, Lewis, do you want to talk about that a little bit, to maybe update Akshat on that?
You mean how to calculate the new numbers?
Yeah, what were we sort of doing incorrectly before?
Right, so the idea is that the way I was calculating the latencies was from the start of a request in the simulated time, till the end of the simulated time. So what Ricardo suggested was that, okay, so we should probably calculate it from the real timestamp till the request was finally done, right?
Yeah.
And this is to account for all the delays that we had in the previous requests, right?
Yeah.
So. So that was the suggestion.
And that is especially true if the requests are independent. If the memory requests are independent, then they would queue up during page faults if they are simultaneously issued, and then the latencies would be impacted.
But they will queue up in the SSD, right?
They would queue up in the IO scheduler or the SSD, yeah. Yeah. Right, so it is important to calculate the latency from the time of original request time, right, which is timestamp in the memory trace.
Right.
For ordered and conservative mode, we are assuming that each request is dependent on the previous request, so there is no queuing, actually. And therefore, we do not need to calculate the latencies from the time of issue, but rather from the time of, well, not from the original timestamp, but the actual time in the simulator when it is handled, right, for ordered and conservative mode, because there are strict dependencies between requests. But the performance impact will be in terms of increased execution time of the application.
Yeah.
The other discussion we had was that we probably want to talk about the timing related issues with the simulator, as well as these replay modes in more detail. So at some point we had an offline discussion several weeks ago about how to describe the three modes of replay. And that was something we thought was important to describe well in the paper. So Ricardo is putting together a new section which could, you know, be a starting point for a new paper, but we could also use that to summarize for this paper. So those were some of the discussions that we had offline last week.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess the new method for aggressive makes sense, right? It
makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, it would be sort of, if we didn't do that, then we would take the best case or actually incorrectly advantage the results to our benefit, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's true. So, Lewis is in the process of running new experiments with some additional optimizations that he has been working on, and this time he's going to collect the latency numbers in the new way for the aggressive mode. So for the ordered and conservative mode, it stays the same as before.
So do we have those numbers somewhere plotted or?
We don't have those plotted, but I think Lewis sent us a spreadsheet with those numbers. We could take a look at those.
Yeah, I looked at that. Okay.
So we could look at them now. We looked at them last week. Let's see. So which of the numbers has the execution time, Lewis?
The stats. No, that's only for gold.
Okay, so the stats Excel sheet. And there were some additional numbers that we were planning to add to the spreadsheet also, right?
Yes, so this just has execution time, right? It doesn't have the response time.
Yeah, this does not have response time.
And but for the response time, I send
CDF.
CDF.
Okay.
So
last time, I...
Sorry, Akshat, what?
Did you send the CDF for all these?
Actually, I send them for ordered, right?
Okay.
And some of the CDFs were for HSQLDB, I think you sent multiple.
HSQLDB. Oh, yeah, because it's for each workload. No, actually, for HSQLDB, we have, because my base case is with HSQLDB.
Mm-hmm.
So I have HSQLDB with all the variables changed. So, for instance, I have different percentage of memory or different cleaning mechanism. And there was something else. I think that's all.
So we are missing right now strawman for all of these guys, right?
No, for all these guys, because I started from
HSQLDB,
so that's the only one we're missing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, I'm also missing the information here on the cleaning mechanism, for instance.
Hmm.
So there is some slowdown with conservative, and
yeah, because
the reason for which ones?
That's a chat. Yeah, the reason is that, remember that in this case all the
I mean, I understand the reason. What I'm saying is that, I mean, it varies, right? If you look at the percentage slowdown. So do we have any intuition on which are the workloads for which it's varying more and why? That kind of thing.
No, I guess. But my guess would be that as the workload has more page faults, then you will have much more increase, right? Because each page fault incurring an I/O. And I/O is the only reason that we see a difference between memory only and I/O, right?
So in some sense, the percentage of page faults, which we don't have here, right? Oh, we do have, which is the one minus the percentage of memory hits, should directly, be correlated with the slowdown in conservative.
Actually, that's probably not the only reason, right? If there are the bursty accesses, then probably there will be more slowdown at that for some specific window, right? So, and then that slowdown you can never catch up because I guess you. The conservative, we are never going to catch up again, that we allow in ordered.
Right. Well, conservative doesn't catch up at all, ever, no matter whether it's bursty or not.
Exactly. So I think if it's bursty or not, it will have the same effect, right?
No, if it's bursty, then the queue gets built up, right? So the delay also gets added up. So the last one has a lot more delay.
But
whereas if you spread it around.
No, but if you think about it, actually the queue won't increase because you're having one request at a time, right?
So conservative assumes that you have dependencies which are strict, and also the inter-request times must be maintained. So each I/O is going to increase the execution time, whether they happen back-to-back or whether they happen in a spread-out manner. So in fact, conservative should the times for conservative should be directly sort of correlated with the percentage of page faults. So I asked Lewis to add another columns or maybe two columns for the percentage slowdown with ordered and conservative. So we can see those numbers as well.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be this case if you look at some of these numbers.
I think we can do it in the spreadsheet. So.
Can we do it now?
Yeah.
So maybe I can add another column here somewhere.
Insert.
Column.
Oh, but you have the pointer here, so probably you want.
Okay.
Your pointer somewhere else.
Okay, let me put my pointer here and say insert column right. Okay. And this guy should be equal to F
minus E by
3 minus E 3. What's going on? Whoa.
I have no idea.
Okay. F 3 minus E 3. Divide by E3. That would be percentage increase. Right? F3 minus E3. Oh, minus, sorry. D3. And 100 to D3. So that should be increase for conservative in percentage. And so I just drag this guy this way.
I think you missed the
No. Okay, how do I drag this thing?
What's that? That one. There.
Okay, so.
So HSQL DB is the one that is. Doesn't seem to fit that pattern.
HSQL DB?
Yeah. Because the miss hits are pretty much the same as others, but the overhead is significantly higher.
I guess the. Let's see. There's something else that we are missing here, which is probably. The rate at which the memory is being accessed. Okay, so if memory is accessed more frequently, then for the same percentage of page faults, you'll have a longer execution time. Right? So we need to take, it's not just the percentage of page faults, it's also the rate at which memory is accessed. That influences this.
But we already normalize, right? It's a percentage number, so that should be true for ordered as well, if you access first.
That should be true for ordered. Actually, in case of ordered, it depends on how bursty the workload is. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's less bursty, then you will have less increase in the execution time. For conservative, however, if you see for the same execution time, if you access memory faster, then and you have the same page fault rate, your execution time should increase. That makes sense. Let's say the total execution time for two workloads are the same, right? In the memory only mode. And the percentage of page faults is also the same. But one workload accesses memory more frequently than the other one. The execution time for the workload that accesses memory more frequently is going to be greater. Impacted more than the other workload. Because there will be more number of page faults. So, in some sense, we have to look at the number of page faults rather than the percentage of page faults. And that would be correlated to to the percentage increase or the increase in the execution time for conservative mode. Right?
I'm not too sure, right? Because let's assume the 100 accesses, one of them is a page fault.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 1% page fault rate.
Right.
So does it really matter whether I have 100 accesses or 500 accesses? I mean, as long as my percentage stays at 1. Because
no, it does matter because with 500 accesses, you have 5 page faults.
Yeah.
5 page faults is going to increase the execution time more than a single page fault.
Yeah, but in terms of percentage, it won't, right? Because
no, but we are calculating percentage with respect to the original execution time. You could have the same execution time with either 100 memory accesses or 500 memory accesses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if there are more memory accesses.
Okay, yeah. Now I get what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
So I think what we should probably have somewhere is the, let's say,
page fault per second or something.
Page fault, page faults per second, exactly. That would be a good thing to have. But do we have that from this?
I don't know. We have the execution memory and execution number of accesses and
memory execution time, right?
Yeah.
And we have the number of memory accesses.
And we have the percentage of page faults. So
okay, so I'm going to add a column to the right and say here should be equal to
number of page faults divided by the time.
Yeah. So
number of page faults is 1.
G star
1
minus
1
minus
time divided by 100.
Minus
okay.
H3 by 100. That would be the number of page faults.
That would be the yeah.
Then I want to divide that by
the memory only time.
D3.
D3.
Right?
Yeah. Very well.
Okay, so that is
1
page faults per, and then I need to drag this carefully.
It was D.
Okay, so and what was this, by the way?
It was percentage of time increase.
Percentage increase converted.
Yeah, this law looks, this now corresponds. This looks more reasonable. Yeah, pretty much a direct match.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Surprisingly close. Just the ratio. What is the ratio we get? This should be more or less the same. Yeah, this is in a tight range.
Yeah, 45 to 62 or something.
Hmm.
Yeah, reasonably close.
The ratio between
Page faults per second and the percentage increase in the conservative mode.
Right. So they're pretty close, right?
Yeah.
While we're trying to find a relation between the percentage increase in execution time with the page faults per second.
Correct. Yeah. So that seems reasonably good. Well, the difference would be because of the percentage of page faults that add writes as well.
Yeah.
That's one of the...
These columns, right?
Yeah, exactly. The change in the column.
Yeah.
So when there are higher values, the value on this new column should be lower, I guess. Doesn't seem to be the case. Well, anyway,
yeah,
we should look into this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there are other factors that influence page fault latency.
Yeah. Another factor could be the flush thread and the cleaning.
Well, especially the HSQLDB rows should not be considered because they all have different policies, right? They have different amounts of memory the cleaning policy is different, but that doesn't...
The cleaning policy could be different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could affect because in the online cleaning you have online the page fault. Right? So I think you can end up cleaning in the page fault.
During the page fault.
Yeah.
So if we ignore the HSQLDB, we should... The other ones we should have... are the other ones online cleaning?
Yeah.
All of them are online cleaning?
I don't remember. I think so, but I don't remember.
Add the column for the policy, please, so we know which one it is.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. But this is, I mean, this seems, the numbers seem to make sense so far.
Yeah, real numbers are not going to be identical, so it's probably...
But also taking into account that not much cleaning is happening. So I don't think that should affect that much.
Does flash also have some locality in sense of where you read or write create some kind of a difference in access time? Some locations faster.
You have a cache in the case of a read, right? So if you read the same content, it should go faster. But in terms of writes, usually you have big problems. So there is a huge difference between writing sequentially and writing randomly.
Yeah, yeah. But one thing is for the same... same write pattern, but goes to different parts of the flash device.
I think it should be the same.
Should be the same. Okay.
Different.
If you write sequentially in different parts of the
system. I see. Yeah. Not that we know of. That should not cause any change.
No.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so these numbers, we should start plotting some of these numbers, right? I guess we should focus on maybe we have three different policies, but we don't want to show all those three different policies for each workload.
What policies you're talking about?
The writing policies. One is with... Or cleaning policies.
I see. So we have strawman,
mm-hmm.
online cleaning and offline cleaning.
I guess we decided to just show that with HSQLDB, right?
Yeah. Because otherwise we'll have just too many
Okay, yeah. So maybe we should start with that graph, where we showcase all the different configurations for HSQL DB, and have another graph which.
But graph for what? I mean.
For the execution times.
Okay.
Right.
In all the cases, memory only order and conservative.
Yeah. I mean, there are several interesting numbers here, but I don't know if you want to show all of these numbers. Probably not.
I guess we should show the most interesting numbers.
The percentage of... there are some other numbers which you have, which is the number of writes during the execution, which influences the wear leveling and lifetime of the SSD. I think those...
The number of writes.
The number of writes.
Do you mean apart from the page faults?
Total. All of them, including
of them.
The page faults and the...
Yeah, we can get that from here. So we have the percentage of page fault writes and the number of...
Overhead writes.
Right.
Oh, okay. So overhead writes plus the number of page fault writes would be the total number of writes.
Exactly.
And I guess we should have maybe writes per second or something like that. That will tell us the expected lifetime of the SSD.
It should.
No, but should that be the number of writes to a fixed location as opposed to just the number of writes to SSD?
Actually SSD does copy and write anyway. So even if you write to the same location, it's going to write elsewhere.
Okay.
Inside, the firmware will do that.
Oh, okay. So we are not, okay. So we are anyway not considering all those wear leveling mechanisms here.
Yeah. Well, we want to consider wear leveling in the sense that if you write to the same segment, you know, all of this is needs a certain number of assumptions. One is the kind of mapping that the firmware uses, whether it's block level or page level or hybrid, right? And I think it's not clear what these SSDs actually use, but a hybrid mapping scheme is reasonable to assume. The hybrid mapping scheme, if you write to the same location, yes, it is true that temporarily the flash will internally write to a different page location, but eventually it does this merge operation, which erases the original location and rewrites to the same place. So I think what you're saying does make sense for the hybrid mapping scheme. So it would make sense to talk about the number of writes to the same location. Do we have that information?
Writes to the same location.
In the flash.
We have the number of erase.
We have the number of erase operations
in each
segment.
Which means, actually, how many times I have cleaned that segment, that specific segment. So. Which is the same as the number of rewrites I have done in that segment.
Hmm. 1 second. Hello? Yeah. Okay, so you have number of erasures to the segment.
Which is the number of, or how many times I have completely written that segment.
I guess that would be a useful number to have in this spreadsheet, and that will tell us more accurately the lifetime information.
Right, but then I have to do all the summation, right?
All the summation?
Yeah, because that's, here we have a single number.
Oh, I see. So you say you need a distribution then.
Or
you could have an average number.
I could also have an average.
And max number.
And max.
Yeah. For the number of erasures per number of segment erasures. max would be a good indicator, right, for lifetime of the SSD.
Yes, exactly.
So the reason that would be correlated with the number of actual erasures on the SSD is because you do an overwrite to the same location.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, makes sense. And assuming the hybrid mapping, of course.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. yeah, I think...
Yeah, and we need to have a column for power.
A column for power consumption.
Yes.
That makes sense. And yeah, I think that's about it. I cannot think of anything else. Did we add some other notes last time when we met about this spreadsheet? What else to add?
Yeah. So we have. We have the read-write ratio of the memory access.
Hmm.
We have the flash allocation, number of flash migrations, and average latency.
Mm-hmm.
So
instead of read-write ratio, I think we should make it just percentage of reads.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What was the second one again? I'm sorry.
Flash allocation, number of segment erasures, and average latency.
Average latency, okay.
Yeah. There's also here, latency can substantially change. Can we calculate the latency of worst case? I guess that was for...
That was for the aggressive mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. We already spoke about that.
Yes. I think that's all. And plot execution time for HVL with all allocation mechanisms.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's about it for the hybrid memory, unless there are some other things to discuss, Louis.
No, I think
okay.
Anything else to discuss.
So we should talk a little bit about the other paper also, but I think, Louis, you can...
No,
you can go if you want. We should set up the next meeting, though. So, I won't be here next week, but you guys can meet if you want to.
Okay.
It's up to you guys, whatever. Maybe you can figure it out over email or if you think...
Yeah, let's do that. If I have material to show and listen to some comments, then I will send an email.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe, Louis, you can share the material, and if there's something that's not clear and requires a discussion, we'll set up something.
Okay.
And let me just make sure that I can do this the week after. Yeah. So, Monday the 29th, we'll meet for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Same
That's
time.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah. And maybe maybe you guys will have a meeting next week. All right. So, maybe we can spend a few minutes talking about the working sets paper.
Okay, yeah.
So, I did a revision and added in some comments for the first four... sections. Actually, section 4 was able to go through only halfway. But I'm hoping that I'll go through the rest of the section 4 and section 5 to today or tomorrow. And there were some comments that I put in there. Yeah, go ahead, Akshay.
Yeah, so there's one thing that I should have probably told you, right, that I have removed the cache partitioning stuff.
Yes, I noticed that. And there is...
still read okay in the sense that we don't put a lot of emphasis on it, or we need to cut down on that.
I think it's fine. There was this section on memory limited execution.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Which talked about how to limit the size of memory for different levels. And so I just I had it in my to-do list to make sure that we are not assuming certain information that will be presented later on in that discussion.
Yeah, so that's 4.2, resource limited execution. Right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so essentially 4.2.3 is what is now supposed to capture all that we want to say about cache partitioning.
Right, so I don't think I've looked at that section yet. I'll do that today and make sure that it is sort of balanced with 4.2, right? Because 4.2 does talk about what is necessary to be done and in some sense the mechanisms at the different levels. And 4.3
yeah,
goes
yeah.
into the details of that, right?
Yeah. I mean, we can always talk about that as a contribution as long as we don't highlight it because we don't do a comprehensive evaluation.
Yeah. I saw that you removed that from the contributions bullets, which is fine.
Okay.
So we don't sort of claim that to be a contribution in this current version.
Okay.
So Ricardo, I guess you guys are communicating about the plots offline because I'm only getting sampled the information.
So what I did was Ricardo had committed those MRCs right last week.
Yeah.
And he was committing one of them even after that a day or so, right? So what I did was I just took those 54 options. Not 54, there were actually some were missing. So I selected some of them and not completely randomly, but somewhat random, somewhat. I'm just pick whatever looks interesting. And what I did was, so if you look at figure 7.
Just give me a second, let me pull up the paper. Figure 7 is that grid of MRCs, the consolidated MRCs, right?
Yes, yes. The MRCs before and after consolidation is projected and baseline cache requirement.
Right.
That's the caption for it. If you have not updated the CVS, you probably need to do that to make the new figures. The plot folder especially.
Yeah, I see it.
Yes. So there are two vertical lines in many of them, right? So the first vertical line is what you get if you just add ERSS values.
Right.
Second line is.
Yeah, and the second one is what the model predicts.
Yes. So there are some in which, for example, CG ones, the ones with a star are the ones in which, you know, there is one of the workloads has no fixed ERSS, CG essentially.
Hmm.
So we don't do anything. The model cannot do anything for them. And there are some with a plus, which essentially says that the model predicts something which is exceeds the range in which we are actually computing the margins. So 10 MB, greater than 10 MB. Few of them have nothing, which are essentially for which the two lines were so close that it was not coming out properly. Just a couple of them, I guess. So these are 16 out of the 54. Actually, there should be 9 into 9, 81 combinations out of which all 81 were not there right now, but essentially all 81 could be plotted, and this is some representative 16 of them. So the most interesting one is the first one, which has this huge gap of wastage.
Right. So I was thinking, I know that you are doing this manually, right? I mean,
yeah.
The computation of these. But if we could figure out an automated way, then we could do a distribution of the percentage difference across all the 81 scenarios, in a single graph?
Actually, we could do that. It's just too many
cases
to handle.
So it's manually, it becomes a nightmare, I guess.
Yeah, so the 81 are not there available as of now. We only have not all combinations. So we can, if the time permits, we can do that. So maybe, Ricardo, you can let them running, right? They are running on some other place, right? It doesn't interfere with your main experiment.
Yeah.
So.
That's something I wanted to discuss, and I think I lost some of them. So, okay, we'll go with that. So, anyway, this you can keep on running somewhere in parallel, and once whenever you have that information, just commit that and drop a note, and
As we get time, we will try to see if we can come up with either a script or let's see how many we can do in whatever way we can.
Okay.
Okay. So now we can come to your experiment. So we need to, for your experiments, what we need to do is have a Zen setup and create 4 VMs, and whatever is your processor, just divide equally between the 4 VMs, or come up with anything, it doesn't really matter. Come up with something which, no, not equally, come up with something that will make sure that all workloads run reasonably for the same amount of time. You have to repeat, or you can repeat, or do whatever, right? So, and then just get the number of misses and hits that you see. There are five experiments that you need to run. The first, VM1 is running, the others are not doing anything. And the other VM, second...
That's the last mail you sent, right?
Yeah, so there are five runs that you need to do. Four separate, and the fifth is when all of them are together. The only thing that you need to make sure is that all VMs should be capped, and they should be capped, so the min and the max for each VM should be same. So they should not take any more CPU or anything else. It's just the cache that they are allowed to play with. And then the next one is essentially, from this what you will get is before and after for each workload separately. When it's running alone, what's the number of misses it's seeing, and what's when it's running with others, what is the number of misses that it's seeing. That's pretty much what we want to get from there. The other one is a more complex one, in which you have QMO and then Zen on top of it, and you have those four VMs, and we get the MRCs for that, right? Yeah, we get the MRCs for that, and we get for that you need to somehow make sure that they again run together for the same time, so we get the standalone MRCs and we get the consolidated MRCs.
Yeah.
We get the standalone trace and the consolidated trace, and we get the MRCs, and we plot the MRCs. Yeah, pretty much. That's
yeah.
It. That's pretty much it. But before you can do any of that, you will have to build the models for each of them separately as well, right? Because you will get those anyway once you run them. So that's probably fine.
Yeah. The other thing that the workloads is that mail you sent us with having our version of deconsolidating, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
Service web, Rubis, DB, ET, and I think Postmark, or any file intensive workload, any IO intensive workload, take your pick.
Okay, that's good. I guess I can run that because I have finally I have Zen QEMU and I have another machine with a Zen profile. I'll be surprised.
Oh, so you have Zen on QEMU?
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, then we probably can skip the first part, right?
Actually, the first part gives us some information which the second part doesn't give us, which is all of our numbers are essentially looking at the aggregate MRC, but we cannot distinguish which application is getting impacted. So this is the only one which can give us that information. because now you have four different VMs and you have OProfiler or Xenoprof running inside them, so you will get the message for each of them separately, before and after.
Actually, I have a problem that I can only get counters from DOM 0, not inside the VM. That's not good.
So even Xenoprof doesn't give us that information? I thought it was very, very elaborate. Okay. Yeah, if we are not getting per VM information, then there's no point in running that experiment. That we need to do only if we can get that information.
Well, what can I do is, run them separately. I don't have control. Yeah. I can help you for processors.
So if there is a challenge, why don't we just complete the Zen QMO experiment first, and then we will see what we can. The goal here is to get for each VM separately what is the misses before and after. And if we can figure a way to get that, that's probably good. But if there's nothing direct, I thought it was straightforward, but if it's not, then let's get the MRTs using QMO first, and then we'll worry about this.
Okay.
It's surprising actually that, if it's on Power 6, you could have got this information, right? Because on each helper, you could have got this separately. That's where you were getting, right? You were only you had a couple of helpers and you were running things inside them and you're getting this information.
I think that platform probably has virtualization support or some performance counters which are virtualization friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's possible.
In the ones that we have in our lab are very basic AMD machines.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so why don't we do the QMO experiment? I'll also read up a little bit about Xenoprof and see if there's something that we can use there to get per VM stats.
Actually, you can use Xenoprof. It's just that I couldn't make it work. It's just that I'm borrowing a friend's machine which has Xenoprof works, but not on the DOM U.
Okay. Well, so the problem is with getting to make it work. Okay, that makes sense, because it's a surprise.
Because it was with just some very specific kernel, then it's really okay.
Okay, then definitely we should do the QMO runs quickly and get those numbers before maybe we're wasting time and we just get stuck here.
Okay. The other thing, I think on ESX you cannot get these things, right?
ESX you can't get anything. ESX monitoring is really crappy.
Okay.
Generally speaking, Zen has a lot better monitoring support than ESX. ESX, I've been trying to, I've also looked a lot the last, a year, 2 year. ESX doesn't have a lot of monitoring support. It's very basic.
Okay, so I guess, Ricardo, I guess you'll be busy with these experiments for the next week, right, until the deadline. When is it? That's 22nd, so which is just 8-9 days away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be helping as much as I can before I leave on Wednesday, which is just basically today and tomorrow, essentially.
Okay.
I'll try to help with all the stuff that's already written, and if you can add numbers as you get them, maybe I can help with the new experiments also, but that might be a bit difficult the way I see it right now.
Yeah.
So Raju,
you will be checking mails after you leave, or?
I'm not sure actually. So I'm going to Peru for a vacation. And
you better not check mails.
Well, I don't mind checking emails, but the problem is I don't know if I'll have internet access. It's sort of a busy agenda that these guys set up, the travel agents. And so, I'll try to get online whenever I can, and hopefully I'll be able to, but there are no guarantees, actually.
Okay,
that's fine. Yeah, sorry about this.
I'm pretty sure you booked your vacation much long time back, right?
Yeah, like 3 months ago. Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's it for today then, and I'll communicate over email.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.